Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today is Monday of the 8th week in Ordinary Time, and from England we hear from Father Richard Owlsworth, prior and parish priest of Holy Cross in Leicester, and lecturer in New Testament at Blackfriars in Oxford. His preaching today is entitled, No Deal to be Made, and the reading is from the Gospel of Mark.
As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What Jesus is offering to the man in today's gospel reading is liberation, though it may not seem so. For those of us in vows of poverty, there's a certain risk that Christ's command to give up all worldly wealth for the sake of treasure in heaven might make us feel smug. Is this not precisely what we have done? And Jesus will go on to tell his disciples, There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But we need to remember that this is not a matter of doing a deal with God. You give me all your money, and in return I will give you eternal life. God doesn't do deals. He makes unconditional promises, and he seeks an unconditional response. Any sacrifice made for the sake of the kingdom is indeed not a bargain, but a liberation. This part of St. Mark's Gospel, from which we're reading at present, follows, both in structure and in contents, the book of Deuteronomy. St. Mark is showing that Jesus is bringing the fulfilment of the offer God makes through Moses to his chosen people, an offer of life and freedom. Alongside what is offered, Moses also makes clear what is demanded: absolute faithfulness, a willingness to serve the Lord our God with all our hearts and all our minds. And just as the people of Israel are shown throughout their history in the Promised Land to misunderstand the nature of God's offer, so in the Gospel the disciples and others who encounter Christ misunderstand him and the nature of his messiahship. In both cases, they misunderstand the depth of God's love. The depth in terms of how much God loves, the all-encompassing nature and power of his love, but also the depth in the sense of how deep his love cuts, how all-encompassing are his demands. What is at stake for the people of Israel, and for us, and for this man whose encounter with Jesus we hear about today, what is at stake is life. The man asks, What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he knows that this must be sought through obedience to God's law. He also intuitively knows that there is more to it than legal obedience, and that Jesus knows what that more is. The response of Jesus is a look of love. This look of love is the gaze that lays us bare, as the letter to the Hebrews puts it. As so often in Mark, the deepest thoughts, wicked intentions, and secret shames of human hearts are transparent to the piercing gaze of the Word made flesh. That gaze of love issues in a summons: leave everything behind, follow me. The alternative is to go away sorrowful, for the rich young man to return to his own wilderness wanderings. He must leave behind his riches. We, some of us, might echo the disciples, perhaps feel a little smug. We have left behind wealth, we might say, and houses and lands and so on. But riches are of no avail because salvation is impossible by our own efforts, either by riches or by the meritorious act of giving up wealth. You get no points for being rich, and you get no points for vows of poverty either, and that's because there are no points. Jesus' loving gaze issues in a summons, not just to leave behind material wealth, but more radically to leave everything to God. For God, who alone is good, and only for God, is it possible for humanity to be redeemed, for anyone to be saved. Only God can lead us into the promised land. So the demanding gaze of the love God directs at us is the demand not just to abandon wealth, but anything that burdens us, anything that we've made into a carapace that we think protects us but actually weighs us down. For some it may be wealth, for others, for most of us, it may be something much harder to give up. Let us allow the gaze of God's love to light up the hidden places of our hearts and to liberate us, uncovering all the ungodliness that is in us, and especially let us allow it to burn away the pride that makes us want to make it on our own, to claim some credit, to retain some vestige of human dignity, because human dignity is not for us, but rather the superhuman dignity of our divine calling.